Good afternoon and welcome to the October 13th Orange County Planning Commission hearing. Let's first do the Pledge of Allegiance. Commissioner Rice, would you want to lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you for that. And let's take a roll call. I'll start with Second District, Commissioner Morgan. Third District, Commissioner Rice.
Here.
Fourth District, Commissioner Perez.
Here.
Fifth District, Commissioner Bartlett.
Here.
First District, Commissioner Ha. Let's first review and make a motion for approval for the minutes on August 25th, 2021.
I'll make a motion.
Go ahead.
Oh, do we, can you say it all, or do we just say we're making the motion?
Yeah, you can say a motion to approve the minute.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, I guess we have two items on the agenda today. Executive Officer Richard Vroom, can you introduce the first item, please?
Thank you. So we have item one is plan application 21-0166. This is regarding the county acoustical certification list. This is a follow-up from our last meeting regarding the acoustical list. So we did go through a public comment period, and we have a presentation from Judy Kim.
Good afternoon, Chairman and Commissioners. My name is Judy Kim, and I am the Private Property Permits Manager here at OC Development Services, and I will be presenting item number one before you today. The item before you today is a public hearing on PA 210166, Certification of Acoustical Consultants for Placement on the Orange County Public Works Certified Acoustical Consultant List. Staff is requesting the Planning Commission approve PA 210166 and certify the one qualified applicant to be placed on the county's Certified Acoustical Consultant List. This list is used as a reference for project applicants when noise or acoustical studies are necessary for environmental documentation such as EIRs or when certain project aspects require noise analyses and the consultation and advice of professional acoustical consultants. In today's presentation, we will provide an overview of the items listed on the screen here and briefly walk through the acoustical consultant certification process. The purpose of the Land Use Noise Compatibility Manual is to serve as a reference to the mechanisms and procedures that are employed by the County of Orange to implement the Land Use Noise Compatibility Policies and the standards of the county's noise element of the general plan. And as you're aware, the county's general plan is an integral part of the Planning Commission's function relating to land use decisions. The implementation programs and mechanisms related to other policies of the noise element, for example, public information of noise health effects, transportation system noise control, such as restrictions on ATVs and off-road vehicles, use of quieter aircraft at John Wayne Airport, et cetera, are outside the scope of the Land Use Noise Compatibility Manual. The noise element of the general plan contains general policies and establishes specific noise standards to guide the manner in which land use noise compatibility issues are to be addressed by the Planning Division, the Planning Commission, and the Zoning Administrator. The Land Use Noise Compatibility Manual contains relevant noise element excerpts and supporting implementation policies and procedures necessary to ensure that the noise element policy and standards are consistently and effectively carried out during county review of a proposed project. By the county certifying acoustical consultants, we are ensuring that competent, qualified individuals are analyzing the noise effects of proposed development projects and providing effective mitigation recommendations to attenuate or eliminate the noise generated either directly or indirectly by those projects. The certification process also allows the county to establish uniform standards to ensure analytical consistency and that accepted industry standards are being applied uniformly to all noise analyses. By having qualified professionals prepare such analyses, the possibility that EIRs and other environmental documents will be successfully legally challenged is reduced, and the public is assured that noise analyses are performed by competent professionals. Following the standard procedure identified in the manual, a certification hearing was already held on January 27th, 2021, which established a list of four certified acoustical consultants. After this hearing, several inquiries from additional consultants requesting to be certified were received by staff in the subsequent months. These individuals were unaware that the application period had already opened and closed at the end of 2020. Primarily attributing their lack of awareness to the application window opening during the COVID-19 pandemic and their limited access to notices sent to their places of work. As the guidelines in the manual are a policy only, the window for applications may be reopened outside the specified months stated in the manual, subject to the approval of the Planning Commission, which on August 25th, 2021, the Planning Commission authorized staff to open the application window from September 1st through September 30th. The whole certification process is outlined in greater detail in Exhibit 5-9 of the manual, and the relevant sections pertaining to certification within the manual are also included in the staff report as attachment number 3. This time around, in an effort to ensure that all interested parties were sufficiently informed of the open application window, staff once again reached out to all the individuals listed on the 2015 through 2020 list to inform them of the open window. Additionally, staff also contacted the four county acoustical consultants that were previously already certified in January to inform them that no action was required on their part as their existing certification remained intact. Finally, in addition to notifying the County of Orange Development Process Review Committee and the Building Industry Association of the open application window, notice was also made in the OC Reporter and on the OC Development Services website. After review of the submitted applications, the county building official verifies qualifications and recommends certification to the Planning Commission. The building official's recommendation letter is included as attachment 9 in the staff report. Acoustical consultant applicants are then to be scheduled before the Planning Commission, in which public testimony shall be heard, and the Commission shall determine the certification or non-certification of said consultants. Of the consultants solicited, we received qualified responses from one individual. The RFQ for consultants posted on the county's website is included in the staff report as attachment 7, and the summary of the application received is included as attachment 8. Consultants who submitted applications were required to demonstrate minimum professional qualifications, including having obtained a degree in engineering, physics, or a closely related field, and at least 4 years of acoustical engineering experience or an equivalent combination of education and relevant experience. Additionally, applicants are required to be licensed engineers in the state of California and have previously passed the Institute of Noise Control Engineering Professional Examination, demonstrating professional competency in noise control engineering. The consultant that met the minimum qualifications has been recommended for certification and includes in the proposed acoustical consultant list, which is included in the staff report as attachment number 10. Our one applicant is available here today for questions should the commission wish to ask questions or inquire about qualifications. At this time, OC Development Services recommends the Planning Commission 1, receive staff report and public testimony as appropriate, 2, find that the proposed certification of acoustical consultants is not a project per CEQA guidelines section 15378, 3rd, find that the subject applicants meet the minimum qualifications as specified in the county's land use noise compatibility manual as adopted by the Board of Supervisors Resolution 93-1391. And finally, approve planning application PA-210166 for the certification of the subject applicants for inclusion in the county's list of certified acoustical consultants for a period of 5 years, subject to the attached findings and conditions of approval. That does conclude my presentation for today. We are available to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for staff? Anybody?
It was really well done.
Okay, and you mentioned we have one applicant here?
We do, yes.
Do we have any question for the one applicant that's here? I'm not sure who that.
This gentleman, Stephen.
Okay, Stephen, okay. Any question for the applicant?
Well, since the applicant came all the way down here, could we come up to the podium and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Certainly, thank you for making it worth my time. No, it was worth coming. But anyway, Steve Martin is my name. Stephen is the proper name. I go by Steve. I have a PhD in acoustics from UCLA. I'm licensed with the state of California as a professional engineer. And basically, I've done acoustics work for almost 40 years. Beginning of next year, it'll be exactly 40 years. Worked for a lot of projects on federal requirements, FAA requirements for airports and sound insulation of homes around the airports. State work, I worked for the Attorney General's office and some issues they had with one of the state parks for off-highway vehicles. So far, I've talked about things you say are out of the, not even considered in your noise element, but we've done a lot of works for cities. I've done a lot of work for cities on either updating general plans or noise ordinances, projects within cities that need to either quiet down existing conditions or, you know, CUPs or EIRs, CEQA documents for noise control to make sure that it meets the requirements. I worked, started off at Venneclausen, went to Wiley Labs, and then I came back to Venneclausen where I currently am employed. Any questions or anything?
Any questions?
Thank you.
So I'm sorry, I do have one.
Sure.
So most of your consulting work is mainly municipalities, public works type of thing, or have you done some private project as well?
Oh, I've done lots of private projects as well, yes. Just got a call today from Palos Verdes event center that because of COVID, they were kind of shut down, and all of a sudden the neighbors realized, well, it's a lot more quiet when that thing isn't operating. So the municipalities asked actually for some kind of limit that we can provide. Here's what they shouldn't go past, but I'll be working for the applicant to make sure that he can get his, you know, they have something that they can go back to and say, okay, here's what you have to limit it to. Because when Palos Verdes started, that was the only thing that was there. It was actually there to advertise and bring people in. They've encroached, you know, the typical issue with noise issues. And now the city never had any kind of a noise ordinance except no construction after whatever time on the weekends. So now they want something to be able to say when somebody complains and says, well, we've entertained this person. So it's kind of both, working for the client, but done a lot of projects directly for like Universal and Disney and different places, private individuals as well.
Okay. Well, thank you. I don't have any more. Anybody else?
That's probably enough torture.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Martin.
Thank you.
It's very important.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Okay. So we don't have any other question, would someone like to make a motion?
We have to open the public hearing first.
Are we doing a public? Okay. So I guess I'll open the public hearing. Do we have anybody on the line? Or?
So we don't have any speaker slips in, so no member from the public. We just had to open it and close it.
Okay, so I'll close it. That's quick.
The process is good.
Well, it gets confusing, right? Because there are times, well, before COVID, it wasn't so bad. With that in mind, then, would someone like to make a motion?
I'm happy to make a motion to approve planning application PA21-0166 for the certification of the subject applicant for inclusion in the county's list of certified acoustical consultants for a period of 5 years, subject to attached findings and conditions of approval.
A second.
Okay, so we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Mr. Chairman, do we need a second motion for recommended actions 2 and 3?
I guess we We can have Commissioner Bartlett rephrase the motion. County Council, do we need to rephrase the
I can rephrase it, too. I thought we were just approving the application on number four, but let's make the motion make a motion to approve the recommended action.
Okay, we'll set a good example for the new commissioner, right? So, all right. So I guess you want to second that? Or?
I'll second the amendment.
Okay, I'll redo it again. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we got all five, I think. Okay, then we have the second item, which is pretty easy, the Planning Commission schedule for next year, 2022. You know, honestly, I haven't gotten a chance to review the schedule, but you know what? I don't even know what my schedule looks like for next year yet. So does anybody have any comments on the schedule, the stated days, and Commissioner Morgan, you know, you have any concern issues?
We're good here.
So I guess I'll take a motion if we want to approve the schedule as is for now.
Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to make a motion to approve the schedule
public
hearings and meetings of the Planning Commission for 2022.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So there we go. We approve the schedule for 2022.
And adopt the resolution.
And adopt the resolution. Okay. So, see, this is what happened when we don't meet very often. We start to forget procedure and how to even make a motion. So let's all do our homework and be better the next time we meet, right? You know, before, I kind of failed my job a little bit today. Before we go to executive officer update, you know, we got a new appointed commissioner for district, second district. So, Commissioner Morgan, would you, if that's okay, County Council, I'd just like to have Commissioner Morgan tell us a little bit about himself. And
sure.
Is that okay? I'm kind of off the agenda a little bit. I think that's okay to do, right?
Yeah, that should be fine, or we can put it in the planning commissioner comments.
You want to do that? Let's push it back. You want to?
Under item five, planning commissioner comments?
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right, so let's do that. We'll come back to you. So, okay, so next will be the executive officer update.
Thank you. So we do have a few updates for all the commissioners. So the first one, I've announced that this is my last planning commission meeting. I am rotating through to the board office after this. So starting October 25th, I'll be in Supervisor Doe's office. So this is my last one. So I want to thank everyone for just, you know, cooperating with us and working with us the last couple of years. It's been a great experience. We got a lot done. We approved like the zoning code. We approved a lot of big projects. And we're in the RENA process now, so just want to thank everyone for all the support, for helping us getting through COVID, all these major projects. But this is my last one. Afterwards, we will have an interim manager here, so Larie Alonzo, which most of you guys know already. She'll be stepping in while we do a recruitment. We are expediting the recruitment, so hopefully we fill that position fairly quickly. My other update is for RENA. I know that's a big item for the Planning Commission. So we will be coming back to the Planning Commission in 2 weeks for a study session. We will be sending all the Planning Commissioners an email shortly this week, just giving you an update on all of the documents. There are some documents that are still being wrapped up now, so we'll get the first set over to you guys this week. Then next week, we'll have a complete set of documents for everyone to review. So there is a public document out right now for public comments. So if you want to take a start at it, you can take a look at our, website, and we'll email all the documents to you guys too. We have received a few comments that came in so far. We have hosted a stakeholder workshop and a community workshop on the RENA. For the new commissioner, the RENA is the Regional Housing Needs Assessment as part of our housing element. The state has given us a number of about 10,400 units to plan for in the unincorporated area. And as part of the housing element, we have to select sites that could accommodate these units. So we have a consultant on board that they helped us with selecting sites throughout the unincorporated areas that could accommodate these units along with a buffer. So those site inventory pages and the analysis is out right now for public review. So if you want, that's probably the section that most people are interested in is the site inventory. So that's where I would direct people to take a look at. That one calls out specific locations and specific parcels that could accommodate these units. And that's kind of where most of the comments have been coming in so far. People are just commenting whether they want those parcels to be used or not. But I do want to reiterate that this is just a planning type of tool. It doesn't force anyone to build those units. It's just to show the state that we have the capacity to build these units, and they leave it up to the market to kind of decide whether those parcels turn into residential units or not. So I did want to reiterate that a lot of people have commented that they do not want like affordable housing coming to their neighborhood. This process doesn't force it to happen. It just allows it to happen if the market chooses to make it happen. So for a timeline, we'll have a study session here in 2 weeks. And then shortly after that, we're going to submit the public draft to state HCD for comments. They're supposed to get comments back to us towards the end of December. And then we'll come back to the Planning Commission for an official review and motion and recommendation to the board. And we're hoping to get the official housing element to the board by February 2022. That's the deadline for the state. So we're still on track to meet it. It is a short turnaround. So if you guys hear any comments coming in, just let us know right away. Feel free to give us a call, give Larry a call, or Joanna Chang, our manager, a call. But it is a hot topic, so you may be getting calls from your constituents about different sites throughout the area. Are there any questions on the arena at all?
Go ahead.
Quick question. So the housing element is being updated. It'll show an inventory of all the sites that are suitable for residential development.
Correct.
Then what is it up to each individual, we'll call it property owner then, to get the proper zoning changes and general plan updates, or will that be part of the process?
So that'll be part of the process. So the state law allows the county to have 3 years to do any rezoning required. What we've done so far is we don't actually need any rezoning. We have found enough properties that can fit the fit the capacity. We do have to make some changes to our density with our housing overlay. So for those who are unfamiliar with the overlay, in the past, we basically said any commercial property could be used for affordable housing, and we set a density limit for it. One of our strategies is to increase that density. So that was one of our tools to avoid rezoning properties, to just increase that density of sites we have already selected and analyzed. So that kept most, basically almost every neighborhood that's already existing safe from these new housing rules. However, we don't know what HCD will say yet. So we do have a buffer just in case HCD takes away some of these properties. So that's something we'll be waiting for to see what HCD says. On average, we've heard that people got 8 to 10 page letters back. So we're expecting probably a pretty big letter back from HCD. But hopefully it shouldn't take too long to address those comments coming back.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Yeah, one question. Richard, been hearing about changes coming down from Sacramento about lot splitting and all this kind of business.
Yeah.
How's that going to affect this, and can we expect just generally, and will that be a part of our discussion in a couple of weeks?
Yes. So that was going to be the next item to bring up. So there has the biggest legislation that was passed recently is SB 9. That's the law that allows all single family zoned properties to be lot basically split in half, and they can build 2 units on each. So basically allowing 4 units total now on any single family property. And it's ministerial, which means there's no discretion in it. If you meet all the boxes, we have to approve it. So that basically was a game changer that came down from the state. As part of the RENA process, that's not included in our analysis, because we started this process with our analysis about 2 years ago, and this law just got approved last month. So it's not part of our analysis, but it is something that we'll monitor to see if it actually comes to fruition. We've had constituents contact us, but no one's actually filed for anything yet. But we got one yesterday that seems pretty close to getting ready to file for a lot split. So we're going to monitor it and report it back to the state. It is one of the things that we report back to the state as part of our housing inventory.
Well, in theory, wouldn't that just like triple our potential inventory by virtue of this law change from Sacramento?
Sort of. So okay. Those lot splits are mainly market rate. The issue that we have mostly in all the cities in California is hitting the affordable rate housing. So we always hit our market rate housing. That's never been a problem for us. That's 120% or above AMI. But anything below that's affordable, we've never been able to hit that goal. And most cities, almost I could probably say 99% of cities have never hit that goal either. And that's kind of where the issue is going to come up, is how do we hit the affordable goals? So these lot splits will help, but they're still market rate, and we could count some of them as partially affordable, but it's not enough to hit the 10,000 number of affordable.
Okay, thank you.
Can affordable units be transferred from existing properties?
So for the lot splits, they're not affordable, so they don't get transferred.
So, not referring to AB 9. If a developer were to bring in, call it a 100-unit residential development and they wanted 20% affordable, could they acquire 20 unincorporated units, in theory, deed restrict them affordable?
Yeah.
And that count towards the affordable number?
Yes, yes. So we're always open to any affordable. So far, we've only had at least in the last year, we had one project that came in 100% affordable. So we'll always work with them to get credit for that.
Yeah.
There's a new laws that help expedite those projects too. So we have an affordable housing, basically project manager that helps shepherd that project through as fast as we can. So if a project does come in that wants to do a 20% affordable, we're open to work with them too. We do know that it is a need in the county, and we're willing to work with them to expedite that process.
Great.
I don't know if this is the right time for it, because and I'm not sure we how we're going to arrange like a meeting with staff. Or in this case, we'll go through with Lorena. Because your last day is when, Richard?
October 22nd. So
okay,
next
so
Friday.
Next week, right?
Yeah.
And I'll be working with you upstairs anyway, because you're going to be in my district, right?
Yes.
But just to share with the rest of the commission here, in my district, first district, most of the lots are like 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already getting this, a lot of phone calls, which I'm hoping to send it to you guys. Hey, SB9, now I can split my lot into two lots. Do I do a parcel map adjustment? And then can I do two units on each, one primary, one ADU?
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, how does SB9 affect what we went through a couple, 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago on our own upgrade of building codes. And I'm getting a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm in the business, I do similar stuff in my private sector, industry, but there's a lot of confusions. And when there's confusion within the district, they come to me because I'm the planning commissioner, or they go to the office upstairs, which will come down to me again. And usually before I reach out to you, then we schedule a meeting or briefing to talk about it. But I think because of the sensitivity and a lot of questions are coming to all of us and even among our commission, I'm not sure how we're going to do it. But I'd like to discuss it with you, Richard, and Lori, and maybe I can have a meeting with you two and how just figure out how to navigate these.
Yeah.
Because these questions will come up very, very, very soon, if not already for me. Right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, to give Richard a bunch of credit, he and his staff have already put together some guidelines for kind of how to implement the SB. So with your permission, I'd love to bring those people back, the staff members next meeting, maybe agendize to have maybe that discussion as well, or share some of those handouts before they go public.
Yeah, so we're currently working with Nicole Walsh right now just to go over all the state laws. There's very specific items in there that we have to make sure that we address. So there's things such as designating your primary residence for 3 years in order to make the lot split happen. There's also different rules. Building code will still affect some of these. And it also has to be within a census area, like an urbanized census area. So we're having that mapped out now too. We do know most of Orange County is part of this urbanized area, but we do have sections unincorporated that are in the canyons. And so most of those are not part of this. So we have to have that mapped out first before you know exactly if they qualify or not. We do have that request in right now with our GIS team to map it out for us. But we are working with Nicole Walsh. We'll have a handout and pamphlet ready probably shortly in a couple of weeks that we can share with the Plan Commission. And we can ask Brian Kernow from my team to come up and just do a quick presentation on it with Nicole too.
Okay. Guy, no, I'm sorry. Commissioner Perez, you have a question, right?
No, I want to join that. I was saying I'd like to join your meeting, but since they're going to be doing this, I think that's great because I'm like you, I'm getting some calls myself on this issue, and I wasn't even aware of this particular law, so thank you for bringing it to my attention.
I can tell you one case, and I'll be brief because this is not the time for it, but I hear one of the cities within Orange County is like pushing back on that SB9. Legally, I don't want to get involved with that, but then And so the people are calling me, say, well, do we sue the city? Because there's a state mandate and this and that. I said, I'm not the person for that. But I would like to have a clear picture on how to handle this kind of situation. They do come to us for advice or, hey, what do you know, right? Can you share with us? And I think we have an obligation to do that for the general public.
Yeah, no problem. I think we'll have a final version of the draft probably ready in a couple of weeks. But at the next Plan Commission, we can have our staff just give an overview of what we have with Nicole Walsh. We do want to have something ready probably by a month from now, just for the public. We do have a lot of questions coming in. A lot of people are confusing it with ADUs and JADUs.
Mm-hmm.
These are completely separate from ADUs. These are more like duplexes. So there's different rules for duplexes versus ADUs. So there is a lot of confusion on it. It confused our staff too. The law is, you know, written very vaguely in certain areas. It didn't address some of our concerns that came up. But yeah, we definitely will have something ready for the public to look at, and also have like examples how to do it.
If SB 10 affects any unincorporated land, if we could get a couple of bullet points on that too.
Yeah. So SB 10 does require the board to adopt an ordinance. It doesn't require the board to do it. So as of now, the board has not adopted the ordinance to require the SB 10 regulations to go through to expedite projects. So it is something that the board actually will have to direct staff to work on. But so far, they haven't directed us to do that.
Anything else for Richard?
Thank you.
Okay, I think County Council, you're not next with any kind of updates for us?
We do not have an update today.
Oh, you pick a good day.
I know.
All right, Planning Commission, any commissioner have any comments?
I'd just like to say thank you to Richard. It's been a pleasure having you, especially because I was like the last one to really join this board, and just having you available to talk and to answer any questions, I really appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, I too. Richard, you've been fantastic to work with. Couldn't have asked for a better person at the helm during the bigger projects. And one thing I can say I really appreciate about you is that you appear to study really hard and have all the answers at your fingertips, and you've got your head into the details. And I just want you to know that's valued and appreciated up here. So thank you.
Thank you.
Also, just wanted to say thank you to Judy for a really great staff report today, and very comprehensive as well. So thank you. That's it.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I'm going to second what Commissioner Bartlett just said. I don't think I even remember a time when we asked Richard some really difficult question, and he said, oh, you know, I'll get back to you, and did some dance. He seemed to always have the answers, and it was just really amazing, and especially for old people like me. Look at a young guy like Richard, and he's got all these answers. It's just especially amazing to me. So, thank you very much, Richard.
Thank you.
And the good news is we get Lurie.
Yeah.
Well, we know she works.
Y'all are scaring me a little bit.
And we know where to find Richard if we need him. Okay. All right.
So, unfortunately, I'm not sure how age come about at this hearing, but we started out with talking about our age, and then now we ended with that. But thank you, Richard. I concur with the rest of the commissioner. You know, you've always been helpful, always available, and maybe, unfortunately, you're my nephew, so even at home, I would pick up the phone and say, Richard, I got an issue. So he's 24 hours a day for me, and now you're going upstairs, and I work with the upstairs office too, so you stuck with me for a long, long time, right? So, but thank you so much for your service, and Judy, thanks for the report. And at this time, I guess if that's okay, before we go to public comments, Commissioner Morgan, maybe you can share with us a little bit of yourself.
The red button.
All right. Hello, my name's Daniel Morgan, District 2, resident of Costa Mesa. I live with my wife and my two young girls. I've got about 15 years of mostly institutional real estate investment experience, mostly in the development world. I was one of the original employees of Five Point Communities, previously Lennar on their M&A team. I have the unique experience, I don't know, pleasure, but experience of serving for 4 years with the Lehman Brothers bankruptcy estate, unwinding some of their larger master plan community developments in California and the Western United States. Most currently, I have my own company, Martera. We have a residential brokerage arm, a property management arm, and an investment arm that's primarily focused now on what we like to refer to as low-impact, naturally affordable housing. So we're buying small multifamily properties with excess land and building mostly ADUs. And it's been an interesting experience because most of the cities that we've talked to and worked with didn't realize you could do it with multifamily. So there's been a lot of sausage making, but it's been a fun experience so far. And that's about it.
Thank you. Well, welcome on board. And I'm sure you'll find a lot of information from this group here about ADUs and planning codes and what you can do and what you cannot do. I concur with you. A lot of cities out there, they still not up to the with the code, so there's a lot of pushback. Sometimes, you know, not justifiable, but that's why we're here, and that's why we're going to talk in the future on how we navigate all those issues. So welcome on board again.
Thank you.
Let's see what's next. Public comments again, but do we have anybody?
No public comments.
Okay. So I think that's it. We can adjourn the hearing for today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.